Coming up, we're going to look at the success of Joe Rogan, the secret behind it, and what you can learn from it. And then the world has a big leadership problem. We're going to identify it and then tell you how to solve it. And we coach you up. Let's go. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show, where we help you grow personally so that you can advance professionally and then lead effectively. That's the goal. And we're so excited you're with us. So it's always fun, you know, when I see some of these videos out on YouTube, and you'll see things where someone will break down the success of other successful people from history. And so I was talking with the team, and they had this idea, and I thought, okay, let's do this. And so let's look at probably the most successful podcaster, broadcaster, influencer in the world right now. And I think you could certainly make a case that Joe Rogan is number one, but you could certainly say with very little argument, he's in the top handful of people. And what can we learn about his success? Is it lightning in a bottle? Is it just random luck? I don't think it is. So we're not going to talk about this to copy his business model, to try to copy his personality. And we're not going to even say that, you know what, learning how to ask questions like Joe Rogan or be curious like Joe Rogan, like that is the secret sauce. It's not the access that he's had. It's not the caliber of the guests. Now, all those things play into it, yes, but those are ingredients. I think that what we can learn from Joe Rogan that makes him so successful, and quite frankly, anybody at his level of success in any industry, you could fill in the blank here. But I believe the secret is he is operating exactly the way he's designed to operate. I think he's fully authentic. Good, bad, ugly. I think he knows who he is. I don't think he's ashamed of it either. I think he's very okay with this is who I am. And because he's okay with who he is who he is. Right? Now, some of you think, okay, Coleman's having some fun with the words today. It's kind of reminding me of the Bill Clinton. Depends on what the definition of is. Right? No. I'm not going to Bill Clinton land. That wasn't in the script, Alex. That was just extra for you. Well, let me repeat this because this is the key. Joe Rogan knows who he is. He is okay with who he is. And as a result, he is who he is. Now, the first two sentences were good grammar. That last one wasn't good grammar. But boy, is it good stuff. Wasn't it Popeye, the great philosopher, that says, I am what I am? Something along those lines? I is who I is. He didn't say that. But this is the key. And in a world where identity is increasingly a mental health issue, I want to tell you that even though we don't focus on that side of things here on this show, we do talk about personal and professional purpose. And let me tell you something. It starts with an absolute radical clarity of who you are. That's where it starts. It all begins there. In fact, I'm no philosopher. I am certainly no psychologist. I am an observer of people who has been blessed to sit with some of the most successful people in the world. I'm blessed to parent three teens. I'm blessed to be married 25 years, blessed to have really good friends. And I could just say, if I throw it all into one bucket, one thing that I've realized is at the core of everyone's pain and at the core of an unhealthy person is a confusion, whether it be short-term or long-term. It all comes down to, I believe, a lack of clarity and a lack of acceptance of who you are. So if I were then to dive into this, and let's do this from afar, I don't know Joe Rogan, so there's your qualifier. I don't know Joe Rogan, but I'm going to have some fun with the methodology of the Get Clear assessment. This is the methodology of the show. To remind those of you who may be new to this, you're watching this video, you've never heard of me, great. Here's the methodology by which we're going to look at Joe Rogan's success. Everybody has talent. That's stuff you do well. Everybody has passion. That's stuff you love to do. Hold. There we go. Stay right there. And so everybody's got talent. That's something they're good at. Everybody has a passion, a deep burning desire to do something that you're willing to suffer to do. So this is love, love, love. And then everybody has a sense of mission. In other words, you want to achieve certain results. Okay, so that's where we start. Okay. And so this is what I think defines who he is. You let me know right here in the comments. All right. So let's get to this first. Let's look at Joe's talents. All right. And again, I don't know him personally, but just watching him and studying him and using the language in the Get Clear assessment, there are 12 universal talents. And these are the ones that jump out to me that Joe is very gifted at. Number one, he's got the talent of communication. Next, inspection. And next, connection. I think those are his top three. And so if he were to take the assessment, I think those would be his top three. Communication, inspection, connection. Let's dive in. Communication. What is this? He's gifted at sharing thoughts and feelings and information. Very simple. The spoken word is what we know him from, and he's gifted at that. He's known for an ability to tell a compelling story, to express ideas clearly. He's trained as a stand-up comedian, the ability to observe and then take something that he observes and put some language around it, create an image of what he's observed, and then share it with an audience to where an audience is laughing. He's got the gift of communication. Every stand-up comedian, every great communicator has the gift of communication. Next, I think he has the gift of inspection. He's highly observant. Again, this is a hallmark of a comedian. So there's no question that Joe Rogan has the super talent of inspection. He walks in a room, he sees everything, he notices things that maybe other people don't notice. He's catching details, if you will, that maybe some of us miss. And then he has the ability to critique it, to critique the world around him, weigh all perspectives, and then kind of run it through his perspective. Think about that. Again, a stand-up comedian. Third, I believe he has the talent of connection. And this is what I've seen come out. I think it's very obvious if you watch him do his interviews or even just listen. I think Joe Rogan has the talent of connection, which is the skill of getting to know people, to know what they think, why they think, forming relationships with ease. If you watch some of his interviews, these are long-form interviews, and he's making a connection pretty quickly and throughout and developing a relationship while being short-form, yes, and maybe you've never met before, but it creates great conversation and for the moment can turn a complete stranger into a friend. So now let's look at what I believe Joe Rogan is passionate about. What does he love? I think performing, creating, and advocating. Let's break these down. Again, these are three talents and three passions and a primary mission from our Get Clear assessment that I really recommend that you take if you've never truly gotten to a place of, I want to know who I am. How am I wired? And again, I don't know if Joe would test out on my Get Clear assessment with these exact results, but it would be pretty close. And I know this, being the creator of the assessment and coaching 10,000 people and being able to see these things. So let's break down performing, the passion of performing. He loves it. He comes alive in front of an audience. He enjoys the pressure of having all the eyes on you. Again, we've seen that throughout his stand-up career, hosting the Fear Factor, what he does with MMA, and of course his own show. I think Joe Rogan also has a deep passion for creating new things. I think he's very entrepreneurial. I think the idea of brainstorming, creativity, and telling jokes, writing jokes, is a way that he just completely loses himself in the moment, if you will. And finally, I chose this one because I see this in him at this stage of his career. I think he has a passion for advocating. I think he loves speaking on behalf of a cause, an issue, a societal problem. I think he has a crusader mentality. He's persuasive and articulate and passionate about right and wrong and meaningful change. So that leads to, what do I think is Joe Rogan's missional result that he cares deeply about? What motivates Joe Rogan to get out of bed? I think it's achievement. I think he wants to win. You look at his workout routine, his eating routine. You look at the type of conversations, the deals he's cut. I think he wants to be a leader in his space. I think it feels very significant when he hits a goal. I mean, look at successful comedians and some of the things they do and tours and ticket sales and all those things. It's very numbers driven. And I think he wants to win. And I would also say that I think he has a touch of influence in him that I think is developing over time as he's gotten a bigger platform. I think he is also motivated by influence, which is to affect change in people. So why do I walk through what I think is a secret to Joe Rogan's success? Because I want you to start being authentic by living with your unique talent, what you do best, by living in your unique passion, doing something that you really, really enjoy, and by understanding and living each day to where you are attempting to achieve a result that matters deeply to you. Now, is it going to look the same as Joe Rogan's life? No. That's not the point. But as I said at the beginning, and I'll remind you again, I could have filled in the blank with any successful person, watched them from afar, and done this exercise. That's why I created this tool. I want you, within 20 minutes or less, to see yourself maybe as you've never seen yourself before. Maybe to see yourself as the way the world sees you. In all of your brilliance and all of your potential, you can figure this out. You can get the Get Clear assessment at RamseySolutions.com. It's in the store. KenColeman.com. It's in the store. And for those of you that maybe feel like something's missing in your life, you're dealing with some pain, some frustration, can I tell you that getting clarity on who you are and where you fit in this world is such a boost to you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Get clear on who you are, what you were designed to do, and where you can do it. The Get Clear assessment will help you. RamseySolutions.com. And don't forget, this is the Ken Coleman Show. I'm here to help as well. Hey, I want you to stop right now and just listen to this. I want you to imagine life 4 months from now, but you're actually making a starting salary of $75,000. Bethel Tech has a front-end web development micro-credential that you can earn in just 15 weeks for only $5,000. Coding skills are in high demand right now, and you learn them in less than 4 months. So whether you want to level up your career and salary, or you've always wanted to be in tech, you can get started on Bethel Tech's front-end web development micro-credential or a data science micro-credential, another hot field. Now's the time. Let's go. The next class starts April 29th, and the Bethel Tech folks offer you 10% off because you're a Ken Coleman Show listener. Go to betheltech.net/KenColeman for details. Terms and conditions do apply. All right, the world has a leadership problem, according to the author of this article I'm looking at, Carolyn Larson. This is an HR executive article. I'm going to pull a few things from it. I want to give her credit because I absolutely agree with her. I applaud this headline. Some headlines irritate me because I think they're melodramatic or misleading. This one's not either. It's not melodramatic. It's not misleading. We have a leadership problem. Now, some of you are going, oh, Ken's going to get political now. No. We're going to talk about the world of work. I think we have a leadership problem in the world of work. Do we have one politically? You bet. do we have one in the religious world? Yeah, you bet. Again, not covering that. But interestingly enough, some of what we will cover here as what are the leadership problems in the world of work are transferable. So you take that as you may. All right? This is fascinating stuff. More than 80% of businesses claim it is important to develop leaders at every level, but only 5% successfully do. Again, this is from Carolyn Larson. This is the research that she's done. And she cites another analysis of more than 1,000 global companies. Now, this is mind-blowing, folks, what I'm about to tell you. They surveyed more than 1,000 global companies, and over half devote under $500 per leader to development. Under $500 is what half of global companies are spending in developing each leader in their organization. Now, here's a quick question. It's not in the article. I'm just curious. How much do you think these companies spend on snacks and coffee and other small benefits per person? You think it's over $500? I'll bet you it is. So where's the disconnect here? 80% of businesses say, now again, they're not actually modeling this. So there's a disconnect between what they say and what they do. But again, it kind of helps set this. 80% of companies say it's important to develop leaders at every level, but very few actually do it. They're spending money on espresso pods and granola bars. And I'm not anti either one of those things. I love a good granola bar with an espresso to wash it down. But more important than spending money on developing the lifeblood of your organization, your leaders, come on, folks, this is out of whack. Are we then surprised that young people, especially Gen X, the youngest of the millennials, to the tune of 2/3 of them have experienced what they call a toxic work environment, over 40% blaming leadership explicitly. Now, some of you, I can just tell you, you're going, well, there are snowflakes and blah, blah. No, they're not. Some are, but there's snowflakes in every generation. Let's not lose sight of what's going on. People are saying this because the environments aren't healthy. They aren't healthy. So here's what's really crazy. The budgetary hesitancy cited by the article comes down to perceived return on investment. They can measure ROI within a manufacturing department based on maybe new machines and new systems. Yes, I spend X on this software system and it saves me Y. Very measurable. And so for whatever reason, when budgets get tight or there's a fight over budgets, one of the first things that go is leadership development, maybe having executive coaches for all your why. Because there's some sort of perceived, well, that's investing in a person and we got to get our cost of goods sold down and we got to get our delivery down. And again, I get all that, but you can invest in all the systems in the world and all of the software in the world, but if people don't want to be there and you've got constant turnover, it is all a complete spit in the wind exercise. This is the irony. Here's what's going on with this problem, Alex. So, in the world of leadership development, which is such a small fraction going on in the world, if I'm training a leader to lead well, I am teaching them how to pull, not push. Let me give you an example. If I'm standing in front of this table, if I were to stand up in front of this table, and let's say that Alex, the producer, came in, and he walked up behind me, and not forcefully, but he just began to push me towards the table. What am I going to do? What is my instinct? Okay? He's not violently pushing me, but he comes up behind me, and he begins to push me. So what's happening is this. Alex is pushing my body towards his table. And at some point I will have to bend over. Maybe I fall. So when he pushes me, my initial reaction is I look back. What's going on? I feel threatened. I'm in a defensive posture. And I begin to go, whoa, 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 what's going on? What's going on? And I don't know what's happening. And I'm now trying to, I'm defending myself. I'm confused. I want to know what's going on. I didn't ask to be pushed. Everything in me is resistant. Would you agree? Now let's look at a situation. And let's say that Alex and I are in a situation where I need him to pull me forward. All right. So let's say we're out on a hike or something and I got a little muddy spot and I'm trying to get up and I say, hey, can you pull me up? Now watch the difference here. He's reaching out. I'm reaching out. He meets me there and he pulls me forward. let's, you know, and so the posture is very different. When you pull somebody forward, okay, they have a whole lot more option. Now, I know some of you are going to be cynics and go, wait a second, I don't want to be pulled forward. But we're talking about leadership is going, hey, I want you to come with me. This is where we're going. And they go, I need your help. I'm not ready, but if you help me, I'll let you pull me forward, right? I can't get there on my own, but if I reach out and you grab my hand and you pull me forward. So leadership is the art of pulling people who are acknowledging, I'm not ready. I may be a little anxious. I may be a little scared. I may be uncertain, but if you pull me, I can get up. Versus the push. Nobody wants to be pushed from behind, but people are far more willing to be pulled forward. That's the thing I want you to get. And if you understand that, and if companies understood that, and we go, we got to teach our leaders, our managers, how to pull people, not push them. And watch what happens when it's all push, push, push. Tension is up, anxiety's up, turnover's up, productivity is down, profitability is down, turnover is high. All this pushing, 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 pushing is breaking the leadership culture in America. And we got to teach people to pull. Let me say this final word on this. We've got to teach people how to lead, because leadership is defined by reproduction, not production. Watch, the push is all about produce, produce, produce. Push, 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 get more done. Work longer hours, push, push, push. That's production. Real leadership is reproduction. We're going to develop leaders and reproduce ourselves and reproduce people who reproduce more, who are pullers. They pull people forward. They pull people into productivity. They pull people into safety. They pull people into loyalty. They pull people into communication. That's what's going on. And that's the leadership crisis in America. And until leaders and companies understand that leadership is defined by reproduction, reproducing leaders who care for other people and they produce leaders, that's the game. Not this push, push, push for more production. Until that gets fixed, it's going to stay broken. Welcome to the Ken Coleman Show. Thrilled that you're with us. If you'd like to get coached up, you can do that. Just email the show, ask@kencoleman.com, and we'd love to set you up. Let's go to Jake, who is joining us in Billings, Montana. Jake, you're on the Ken Coleman Show.
Hey, Ken. Happy to talk to you.
Well, good to talk to you.
I just wanted to get your input on where I'm at with my career.
Okay.
I spent my 20s working a whole bunch of different careers, did construction, oil field, mechanic, welder. In my 30s, got into supervision at a manufacturing plant and then into project management, and then took a position about a year ago that I thought was a move along the route where I wanted to go. Hasn't panned out, and just in the last few weeks, I've realized that I'm looking for something else, took the Get Clear assessment, and just a little bit confused about what the next step is.
Okay, so let's start with where you're confused, and that's where we're going to dig in to Get Clear. So what's confusing?
So what's confusing me is, you know, I get to the end of the assessment, and I see my mission statement, and I guess what I'm having a hard time wrapping my head around is it came up with my mission as influence, and I've never thought of myself as an influencer before.
Okay, let's stay right here. So when you hear the word influencer, you say it to me. Describe what that means to you. What does an influencer mean to you? Paint me a picture.
I'm not really sure. I guess what it means to me, the gut feeling that I would get from influencer would be somebody who's driving people towards a preferred outcome.
Yeah, good. That works. That works. That works. Okay. And so your top missional result was influence, which means you are motivated by change and transformation in people. Does that sound right to you, to your heart, not your brain?
Yeah, it does.
All right, then.
It does.
So you really aren't confused. You're just kind of surprised, right?
Yeah, a little bit surprised. Yeah,
good.
Definitely.
Good. Great, great, great. But you don't disagree with it. Because, by the way, the assessment is based on your answers. And so it's very important that you go, oh, okay, I really am. Remember, that missional result at the very end is all about what motivates us. There's six intrinsic motivators we know from psychology. That's what the assessment is based on in that particular section. So it's like, what gets Jake excited? What kind of result motivates Jake? Because, by the way, no one can motivate you. We can manipulate you, but we can't motivate you. You can discover what motivates you. And I think it is change in people. True or false?
I think you're correct.
All right. Now,
I think you are correct.
Okay, great. So wherein we know this now, and you're no longer confused, you're just kind of getting to a point of accepting it, because I think you've looked at your past and you're like, well, maybe I didn't succeed in this role or this role, this role. And you're looking at some extenuating or external factors that make you doubt that you can influence people. Is that also true?
Yes.
Now, how did I know that? We've never talked before. How is it that I know that? I'll tell you how. Because when anybody says I'm confused or surprised about something that they actually, once you talk to me about it, you go, that's absolutely who I am. Then what's going on is you don't have enough evidence in your head that you then begin to go, this is in fact who I am. Is that true?
Yes, I think that is.
All right. So we got to go get some evidence. All right. So I'm curious, what were your top three passions? And then we define passion as work that you love. You love this type of work. What did your results say?
My results came back with solving, creating, and making.
Solving, creating, and making. Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Give me your top three talents, and everybody knows what we're talking about now. These are Jake's power tools. What were your top three?
Inspection, instruction, and logic.
Inspection, instruction, and logic. Alex, this is where, you know, I want to try something. I want to get a whiteboard for the next time I do one of these with somebody, because I wish the audience could see what I'm about to do. If I had a whiteboard right now, I would write in three columns. So I want the audience to stay with me here. Jake, you too. I would write talent on the left side of the board, and then I would write inspection, instruction, and logic. Then in the middle of the board, I would write your three passions, the work you love, solving, creating, and making. And then on the right side, I would write influence. And now I would draw some lines. Okay. Because when I look at the talent of inspection, that means, here's what I mean by that talent. It means you walk in a room and you're the person that just notices everything that could be better. How many of you know somebody like that? In fact, there's a guy and a gal sitting out in the lobby. And as soon as I said that, the gal pointed and touched the dude on the chest. Was like, that's you. And now he's hanging his head. Don't hang your head. You're not on camera. Don't be embarrassed. No one can see you. But is that you? Is that you? That's you. And
yes,
by the way,
it is.
That's you, Jake. And it's this young man, too. It's a handsome young man, by the way. And he's very embarrassed. But again, no one could see you, so it's okay. So that person walks in the room, and they just naturally see details that the rest of us don't see. The gift of inspection is kind of like that investigator who just sees something. Oh, there's a kernel of a peanut over here, and then there's this footprint over here. You see things, right? That's the deal. All right, so then I go, okay, inspection to me is going to tie in. I draw a line between inspection and solving, because problem solvers have to see things that others don't see. Is that true, Jake?
Yes, it is.
It is. By the way, the young man out in the lobby is shaking his head on that one too. So we got on our whiteboard here. So we got a connection there. Now let's go down to instruction. Instruction. Now the talent of instruction is the ability to simplify maybe the complex. And say, I'm good at showing people how to do something. That's absolutely you, isn't it, Jake?
Yes, it is.
And so you know what I would do? I could tie instruction to making. You see that?
Okay.
You see that? Like if I have the passion for making things, a process, I could make a process. I could make a tool, right? I've got to show people how to do it. And I could also tie instruction to creating too. You see how instruction also works with the passion of creative work?
Yeah.
All right. And then lastly, logic. Logic was your last super talent. Logic is the ability to just, you analyze well, you process information well, you just think well, you've got a good mix of creative thinking and critical thinking is my guess. Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So here's the deal. Can I see how logic is tied to solving? You better believe it. Can I see how logic is tied to creating? You better believe it. Can I see how logic is tied to making? You see how I'm drawing these lines here on my imaginary whiteboard?
Yes, I do.
Now, here's what's interesting. The talent and the passion connect. What threw you off is because you went, wait a second, influence. Influence is about people, period. So I look at that and I go, if you're spending most of your day using your talent of inspection and logic, okay, and instruction, that means that you're coming in and you're doing people work, but you're doing people work with those talents. And the type of solving you're doing is people-focused. The type of creating you're doing is people-focused. The type of making you're doing is people-focused. So all this comes down to, wait a second, as long as I've got a form of analyzing, instructing, and thinking through this process, and I'm doing it, those are my talents, I'm using those talents so that I'm solving people problems or problems or systems that affect people. I'm creating systems or I'm creating something that involves people. And are I making something that involves people? Why? Because at the end of the day, whatever this work is, I want it to be tied to change for people. So you could be a financial coach. You could be a project manager. You could be a leader. Jake, are you starting to follow me? The world is wide open. As long as the jobs... Go ahead.
You are listing careers that I've thought of and thought, those don't line up, I can't do them.
Well, that's wild. That's wild. Because
jumped into.
Well, the point is now I want you to start looking at careers that you've thought of because that's your heart. And I want you to now turn your brain off and use the Get Clear assessment because your assessment results become the job description filter. And you just say, look, I've always been interested in this. I got some self-doubt. I don't believe in myself, so I'm going to go back to who I am. Whew. And I'm going to read the purpose statement, and I'm going to go, does it line up with this thing that I've always thought that I wanted to do? And if the answer is yes, then we go for it, Jake. You with me?
I'm with you.
You know exactly what to do now, don't you?
I do.
Because I can't tell you what it is, but everything that you've ever been interested in, Jake, everything, run it through the purpose statement and see if it matches up. You got it? You go look at the job description online and you read the job description and you read your purpose statement. You read your purpose statement. You read the job description. And I'm telling you, your heart will let you know. And you got to follow your heart. You got to follow your heart, Jake. I believe in you. Oh, it's good. Hang on the line. I want to give him, Christian, I want to give him something. So keep him on the line. I'll tell you what it is.
Thanks for listening to The Ken Coleman Show. For more, you can find the show on demand wherever you listen to podcasts and watch the show on YouTube. You can also find Ken across all social media by following @KenColeman.